What's up? Yo, yo, yo! Pastor Joe is in the house. And all our first-time guests are saying, what is going on in this church? We're here to have some fun. You guys ready to have some fun today? I am super excited because today we're beginning a brand new sermon series called Mixtape. How many know what a mixtape is not? Let's start there. Raise your hand. Young people in the house, y'all don't know music until you've had a mixtape. So maybe you don't know a lot about me. Maybe you're just here a few times. Well, I was born and raised in the city, the Bronx specifically. Just drove through the Bronx this week, actually. I drove through the Bronx on my old hood. Lived on the 9th floor, but I remember these mixtapes. So here's a mixtape. It's a cassette. Young people, cassette. Where are the young people, right? Cassette. Inside will be literally a tape. I was listening to this the other day, and it's like, I don't want to hear this song. I want to listen to the next song. It was like, so I would actually make these myself. Try to blend them together, you know, all the songs. So basically, we would put song after song after song in the song. And if you got a DJ mixtape, that was unbelievable because they were like mix it together. So I remember growing up with this mixtape, and I had a radio boombox like this. Anybody have a boombox? Had a boombox like this. Now, this was not just for your house. This is for when you were walking to the store. This is for when you were riding your bike, you had it like this. And how many want to hear one of the songs I had on my mixtape? So this would be me. I put my mixtape in. Here we go, here we go. That's right, y'all. Just imagine me in the city, Bronx, chilling, going to the bodega. That's right, y'all. Here we go. Come on. How many know this song? Come on, everybody. Get up on your feet if you have the guts to in church. Here we go. Here we go. Now, we have in church today. How many know that? Here we go. Here we go.
I say hip hop, the hip hop. You don't stop the rocket to the bam bam. You say up, jump, the boogie to the boogie to the boogie to the beat. Now, what you hear is not a test. I'm rocking to the beat. And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to move the beat.
What? All right. Your pastor is a little crazy today, but that's okay. Now, how many want to hear one more? All right. This next song, I loved it. As a kid, I remember it. I was like, oh my gosh, I remember playing it and singing it, and then I used to pop. How many know popping? Like pop, but I can't pop no more because I pop stuff out. Like pop, pop. I'll be like, I could try to pop, but anybody here pop? Can anybody help me? Anybody want to help me? You want to help me for real? Are you sure? All right, come on up. You could take that off for now. Yeah, you could take it off.
My face is good though.
Your face is good? You want it on? You can keep it on. If you want. So what's your name?
Michael.
What's up, Mike? Let's give it up for Mike. Before I hit play, what you got? Let me see. Do you know how to do?
I could do that.
What you got? All right. We're going to throw down here. Here we go. If y'all remember this song, get up on your feet. Here we go. Here we go. Yeah. I ain't doing that. Let's give it up for Mike. How about one more? One more. You all right? I know it's hot in here today. You all right? You all right? All right. This next song, here we go. Now, Isaac, now, wait. Here we go, here we go. 2 years ago, a friend of mine asked me to say some MC rhymes, so I said this rhyme I'm about to say. The rhyme was there, but then it was this way. Took a test to become an MC. And Orange Cook became amazed at me, so Larry put me inside. Thank you. You're awesome. You're awesome, Mike. Oh my gosh. Grab my water. Honey, I need some water. Give me a second here, because I'm out of breath. I haven't done this in 30 years. But we might be starting a new ministry at TC. All right, let's last one. One more, one more. We'll do one more. Because I was a little older now. Now I got my ride. That means car. For some of you young people, car is ride. I used to have a 1982 Cutlass Supreme. Are you kidding me? I had rims, chrome, tinted out. The front, I had gold tint. And I had lettering. This was back in the day when you put lettering. It said Supreme. That's right, y'all. Supreme. So I went to Orange County Community College. I don't know if you know that about me. And now we're in like 91, okay? And I wasn't doing a little hip-hop. I was doing a different style of music. And then I had my bride, who wasn't my bride. She was my girl. We used to call them Fee, short for female. So she was my female. My Fee. Chilling, chilling my feet. That's right. So got her in the car, put the tent down about halfway, and we would just ride around. I'd be pumping the beats. I had an amplifier, just pump the beats. So this is what I used to have. We used to ride around. Here we go, here we go, here we go. Oh, I got to hit play.
If you can feel what I am feeling, then the truth is just believing you're my. You're my diamond girl. Ooh, oh.
Come on, everybody. Here we go. Y'all freestyle people know it. All right. All right, that's good, that's good, that's good. Man, I feel like doing one more, but that's too much. Is it too much? It's hot today. I know, one of our ACs are down. We'll get it fixed for next week, but that's okay. That's how the club used to be. It used to be hot. You sweaty. One more? No. I don't want to upset church people. I don't want to upset you. Okay, really quick. One more, really quick. Okay? All right, do number four, really quick.
Can you feel the beat within my heart? What? Can you see my love shine through the dark? Can you feel the beat within my heart? Can you see my love shine through the dark? Can you see that you must be a part of that beat in my heart? That beat in my heart.
All right, give it up for yourselves. Woo! See, it's so funny. I play these once in a blue moon. I drive with my youngest son, Josiah. I say, Josiah, this is the music I listen to. He starts laughing the whole way. He's like, Dad, they all sound alike. I'm like, no, they don't. And they all talk about love, not about killing, you know. Not about kill this. It's, can you feel the beat of my heart, you know? I didn't know, but it was great. So let's get into the message. Can we? I don't even know if we can. We'll try. So today's message is called Mixtape. Now, what's interesting about these songs is that I played these songs over 30 years ago in my boombox and in my car. But the moment I hear, down, 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 immediately I can recall to my mind the words, the lyrics. Now, I know some of you may not relate to this style. I had a few rockers in the first service, a few Duran Duran people, Billy Joel, right? Maybe I had some heavy metal people like Ozzy, Metallica. Metallica, you know, so immediately you hear these, or maybe, what about, I mean, Michael Jackson, right? You know, I could just bust out on Michael Jackson, you all know the words. And this is what's going on. The song, when you hear these songs, it's stored in our, I'm sorry, let me set this up here. A little disorganized today, but we're going to get it, right? Our minds store the songs in what's called your implicit memory. Your implicit memory is your long-term memory, where events, words, experiences are stored, okay? It's when the brain stores a memory, and what's interesting is that it stores an emotion. That's why some of you were like, oh my God, that's my jam. Like, you were like, I remember exactly what I was and where I was doing that, and, you know, it brings the emotion. That's why we love old school, some of us. When I grew up, it was like 50s music. You know, my parents would play 50s music. I'm like, what is that? Like, this is the music. Now I'm playing freestyle. My kid is like, what is that? You know? So what happens, it takes us back, right, to a certain period of time with a certain emotion of time. Now, implicit memory, not only does it store your music and experiences, but also your words. I'm sorry, words that are spoken over your life. Traumatic events. It stores good experiences, but it can also store bad experiences and the feeling you had with those bad experiences. So literally speaking, listen to me now, there are hundreds and thousands of miles of mixtape memories and words that are being stored, that are stored in your minds. And without realizing it, oftentimes those mixtapes are playing in our subconscious. You guys still with me, right? So let's look at it from a negative point of view. If a coach tells you, you're no good, you're never gonna make it, you're not good enough for this team, we may feel that at the moment, but it's stored in our implicit memory. And those memories create thoughts. And this is the thing about thoughts. Thoughts shape the way we live. So you could be struggling with thoughts that I'm no good, I'm never gonna make it, I'm a failure. You may have those thoughts playing in the subconscious area of your mind without realizing it because it was a mixtape that was played in your mind from an experience that happened when you were a kid. Does that make sense? That makes sense. Not only do we have these words that are spoken, these negative experiences, these setbacks, these traumas that are stored in our brain that are playing back, but the enemy. The main role of the enemy is to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And he is called the father of lies. The enemy is a liar, and this is what he would do. He wants you to believe lies in your life. So he will attack you with lies, hoping that you can believe that lie. And some of us have believed the lies that the enemy has placed in our minds. And those lies are like a mixtape playing over and over and over in our minds. What do those lies sound like? What does the mixtape sound like? Well, it sounds like you're never good. You're not good enough. You can't trust anybody. You're not qualified. Excuse me. You're not qualified. You're not capable. Excuse me. I got some water. I realize how hot it is up here. You're not capable. You're not loved, you're not worthy, you're not good enough, Your marriage is never going to get better. You're always going to be broke. You're never going to have enough. You're never going to get that promotion. You're never going to get that job. You're never have enough. You're never good enough. You're not enough. And it goes on and on and on, and through your mind, there's this mixtape playing in your subconscious. And this is what you got to be careful of. If you believe the lie, the enemy will place you in a prison and create a stronghold in your mind. A stronghold in your mind. Before we go forward, let me ask you this question. What is the mixtape playing in your mind? What is the mixtape playing in your mind? In other words, what are the words that are constantly be playing in the subconscious of your mind? Maybe you're not good enough, you're not worthy, you're a mistake, you're broken, God doesn't love me, God doesn't care about me, my life is not good enough, God is not good to me, God doesn't listen to my prayers, God is not interested in what's happening in my life. And this is the problem with the mixtapes that are playing in our minds. This is what happens. You guys still with me, right? Your life will always go in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So if you allow fear to run through your mind, if words of fear, oh my God, this might happen to you, and that might happen to you, and this is, might happen, and that might happen, guess what kind of life you're going to live? A fearful life. If you have anxious thoughts, guess what kind of life you're going to live? An anxious life. If you have thoughts of worry and anxiety and uncertainty, that is going to go through your life. The kind of thoughts you have impact and will impact the kind of life you have. Scripture tells us this in Proverbs 23, says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." In other words, your thoughts matter. What you think in your mind matters, because what you think will determine your life. Your thoughts will determine the direction of your life. And if you're anything like me, the battlefield is always in the mind. It's in the mind. Growing up, I lived in a city, grew up in a city, and I did struggle. I struggled with fitting in. I struggled with being one of the guys. And the reason why, and I'll share this openly and honestly with you, because I was the whitest kid in the school. Don't laugh. You can laugh. I'm just kidding. I was the whitest kid in the school. My nickname, can you imagine this? My nickname was Joey White Boy. I still get mad over that. You know what I mean? Like, what? I'm not white. I'm Puerto Rican. But I remember that. I would never fit in because not many people wanted to hang with me because they thought I was part of the white crew, whatever you want to call it. I remember they made fun of my face. They said, "You're so white, you got veins in your face." And I said, "Oh man, I wish I was black." I used to think like, I wish I was, but for the purpose of fitting in, I wanted to fit in. And when I went to junior high school, I was bullied. I was beat up and bullied, and I was just really just trying to make it through each day. And I remembered not being able to fit in. So now my parents, they moved us out of the city. So funny story. They moved us out of the city, and I went from the Bronx to Bloomingburg. Can you imagine the trauma I went through going from the Bronx to Bloomingburg? So I remember I moved to Bloomingburg, and I went to Crispell Middle School. That's Pine Bush School District. So I go to Crispell, and I went. I'll never forget what I was wearing. I was wearing burgundy Lees with stripes, pinstripe. Come on, somebody. I had British Knights and a Latigre matching shirt, burgundy, Latigre. How many know what I'm talking about? I was like, "Yo, what up? What up?" And they're like, "Who are you?" And I said, "Who are you?" Because everybody in Crispell, they had long, guys had long hair. And they had jean jackets with Megadeth on the back. I'm like, "Oh my gosh." And they said, what kind of music do you listen to? Do you listen to heavy metal? I said, "I don't listen to them." I thought it was like a group called heavy metal. I didn't know. I never heard of heavy metal. I don't listen to them. They said, oh, no, don't tell me you listen to disco. I says, no, I listen to rap. Run, 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 D, 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 M, 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 C, 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 run, D, M, C, you know. They're like, what? Guess what? I didn't fit in. Because now I'm Rican Joe. Can I get a towel? I'm Rican Joe. Really? So there I am growing up in Crispell. There was only one African American there and one Hispanic at that time. Now it's very diverse. Thank you. Now it's very diverse. But at the time, it was tough fitting in. And it wasn't because I was a victim. I'm not saying that. It was just basically I had a hard time feeling. So guess what memories were being planted into my implicit memory? Not good enough. I'm not accepted. Rejection. So now, fast forward 30 plus years later, as I'm getting ready to prepare this message, guess what mixtape is playing in my brain? They're going to reject you. You're not going to be good enough. They're not going to accept you for who you are. Because I battled whether I should play these songs to you this morning because I didn't want to upset anybody. I didn't want to upset the church people and thinking, you know, what have you done to the house of God? And as I was struggling with my feelings of rejection, I had to take captive of those thoughts and really find my identity not with what you think, but what with God thinks about me. And I remember, honestly, because I thought, you know, it's a pandemic. I don't want to lose more people to the people that are coming. They're going to be like, this church, you know, these people. And I said, Lord, I don't want to do this, but man, I just want to be real. And the Lord said, there's nothing else you can do. Just be real. Be authentic. Be you. See, when I die and go to heaven, it's not going to be, why weren't you Moses? Or why weren't you Paul? Or why weren't you Stephen Furtick? Man, I love Stephen Furtick. I have a man crush on him. He's a, hey, Pastor Stephen, if you hear this, I would love to go preach at your church. He's awesome. He preaches crowds. He's a great pastor. But God's not going to ask me why you weren't Stephen Furtick. He's going to ask me, why weren't you Joe? Why weren't you you? And this is what I realized. The best thing I can bring to you is me. My authentic self. So you got a little taste of me this morning. And if you don't like me, that's okay. I still love you. But that's who I am. And that's what I do. So what do we do? Or how do we deal with this mixtape playing, these negative words in our thoughts? And this is what you have to understand, that God's word is powerful to transform your mind with truth. The word of God is living, powerful, and it has the potential and the power to transform your mind and replace it, the lie, with truth, okay? So this morning, we're going to learn how to win the war in our minds. And that's today's title of today's message, Winning the War in Our Minds. Because I believe there's a battlefield in our minds, there's a battle in our minds, and God is going to give us the victory. Because our life goes in the direction of our strongest thoughts. As a man thinks, so he is. And we're not going to allow ourselves to be controlled by fear, by worry, by anxiety, by traumas of the past. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's what we're going to go through today. So how do we win the battle in our minds? We're going to look at this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. So there's a battle, and we're going to wage war in our minds. We're going to win this war in our minds. But we're not going to battle the way the world does, right? It says here, it says, for the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to do what, church? Demolish strongholds. I love that. What's a stronghold? Let me fast forward here. A stronghold, this is a stronghold. It's a sort of like a military base where there are these huge walls that are built, and the military or soldiers hide behind that stronghold in order to keep the enemy out. And this is what the scripture is saying. The scripture is saying that some of us have allowed the enemy to build strongholds in our minds. Strongholds are certain ways of thinking. For a man thinks, so he is. The way you think can be a stronghold if the way you're thinking is not based on truth. You guys still with me? So this is a view of a military stronghold, but it's also a view of what the enemy does with our minds based on certain thoughts. And this is what a stronghold does. A stronghold can be a thought that is strongly defended or upheld that it becomes an illusion of truth. We could believe this lie so much that we defend it in our minds as truth. For example, when you grew up, did you remember when your parents said, you cannot go swimming after you eat a meal? Remember that? I remember growing up, I was at the lake, I had my lunch, now I had to sit there for 30 minutes to digest my food, because if not, you'll get a cramp, a stomach cramp, and you'll drown and die. The truth is, there is no science behind that. It's not true. What about this lie we believe? Carrots are good for your eyes. Children, I'm here to declare to you that that is a lie. Can I get an amen on that? Hallelujah. It's not true. Carrots are good for you, but it doesn't fix your vision. It's not good for your eyes. But we sometimes believe these statements, although they're lies, we believe them to be true, and sometimes we will defend them to be true. For example, you're a mistake. How can you say that, Pastor? Or I should say, let's do the lie. You're a mistake is the lie. And this is what I tell you. You might make mistakes, but you're not a mistake. Well, that's not true, Pastor. You don't know my life. Not only do I make mistakes, I am a mistake. And you could defend the lie as truth. You know what that is? A stronghold. You can be told that you're an amazing a musician or amazing singer or amazing preacher. I could be told that. But if my mind and the mixed state of my mind tells me, no, you're not. You're not that great. You're not that good. Look at what happened to you when you were a kid. Look at the past. There's this mixtape playing, and that mixtape is challenging that. And you could actually tell, I've said this to people many times, no, I'm not. Because I think I know what I am based on the lie. And what's happening is I'm believing a lie. And I'm believing that lie to be true. But this is what I want to encourage you today, church. It's time to stop believing the lies of the enemy. And it's time to start believing in the truth of God's word. Because God wants to set your mind free, and he wants to set your life free. He doesn't want you living in fear. He doesn't want you living in anxiety. He doesn't want you living controlled by insecurity. He doesn't want you living with anxiety. He doesn't want you to live with worry. He wants to set you free. So what are the weapons? Well, let's go back here. Let's go back one more. So this is what Paul continues in 2 Corinthians 10:5. He says, we demolish arguments. Oh, let's go back one more. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. He talks about weapons. The weapons we use to tear down those strongholds. What are those weapons? Okay? What are the weapons that we use to demolish strongholds? Number one is Scripture, God's Word. God's Word is powerful. It is a sword. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It has power to demolish strongholds. It has power to defeat the enemy. It has power to break every lie that you're believing in your mind. The Word of God is powerful. It is living. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's not a book you read. The Word of God is God. John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When we read the scriptures, we're not just reading cute verses. We're reading the truth of God given to us. And the Word of God tells us that God's Word will endure forever. It is powerful. It has power to break strongholds. It has power to reject lies. It has power to tear down the walls that the enemy has placed in our minds. It is the truth of God's Word. And listen to me, the enemy will do everything he can to keep you from reading God's Word, because he knows that when you get the Word in you, it'll not just change you, but it'll transform you. Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we do that? Scripture. Secondly, we have the power of the Holy Spirit as a weapon. Greater is the one that lives in us than anything in this world. We have the power to take our thoughts captive through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because greater is the one that lives in us than anything coming at us. So we have the power of God's Word, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit to take authority over every power and principality of darkness. Do you know that we have the power to silence the enemy? Yes. You know, we have the power to tell the enemy enough. Yes. We have the power to take thoughts captive and bring them obedient, bring them into obedience to Christ. We have been given the power and the authority. Okay, so how do we win the war in our minds? Really quick. Number one, we identify the biggest mental stronghold holding us back. I know for me it's rejection. It's acceptance. What is the biggest stronghold holding you back? What is holding you back from becoming all that God wants you to become? Are you fearing failure? Are you fearing, do you struggle with shame? Is it your past? You're thinking my past might come back to haunt me? What is the biggest mixtape holding you and in your life from becoming all God wants you to become? Well, you got to name it, because what you don't name, you can't change. You have to name that struggle. Name that lie. Name what the enemy's trying to place in your mind. After you identify the biggest stronghold, take the thought captive by the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, don't allow it to run rampant in your life or in your mind. We're all going to struggle with thoughts of worry and fear and anxiety, but God has given us the power to take those thoughts captive. The word take captive in the original Greek actually means taking a sword to it. In other words, we have the power to take a sword and take the thoughts and destroy them. That's the power given to us by God. So when we have these thoughts come into our minds, we have the power to take them captive and make them obedient to Christ. We don't allow them to take its place in our hearts. We don't allow them to be rooted in our lives. Sure, I might be get worried, but I am going to reject worry. Sure, I might be anxious, but I'm going to reject anxiety. Sure, I might fear acceptance, but I'm going to take that thought captive. And thirdly, this is what I'm going to do to it. I'm going to name the truth that demolishes the stronghold. So I'm going to identify it. I'm going to take it captive. And now I'm going to name it. I'm sorry, name the truth that demolishes the stronghold. What is the truth? God's word is truth. God's word is truth. So let me give you some examples. Some of you might be struggling with this stronghold. I am unloved. Maybe you grew up in a home that you didn't hear I love you. Maybe you were abandoned as a child. Maybe you feel feelings of abandonment. You've been adopted. You've been abandoned. Maybe a father left you. A mother left you. Maybe you were abused. Maybe you just feel rejection. You don't feel love in your life. Maybe you were divorced. Maybe someone in your life cheated on you. Maybe you had a husband or a wife cheat on you, walk out on you, abandon you as a kid, abandon you as an adult. Maybe whatever those feelings were, we carry that in our mind and in our lives, and we have this mixtape running, I am unloved. No one's going to love me. No one loves me. No one cares about me. Oh, they're just saying they love me. And the problem is, when you feel unloved, it doesn't matter what people tell you. They could say, I love you, but you don't receive it because the mixtape is playing. They can tell you, I love you. You're amazing. You're wonderful. And what do we respond? Oh, you're just saying that. Why? Because we've believed a lie that's created a fortress in our minds, which is a certain way of thinking, and we're defending the fortress instead of replacing it with truth and allowing the truth to demolish the stronghold. TC, it's time for you to demolish strongholds in your mind. It's time for you to clear your mind and ask the Holy Spirit to transform your mind, because if you can change your mind, you can change your life. And your life will go in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So what's the truth? We've named it. What's the truth that replaces this? You might feel unloved, but this is truth. You guys with me? You guys with me? We're almost done. Right? What's the truth? Surely your goodness and what? Love will follow me all the days of my life, right? Surely your love and your goodness will follow me all the days of my life. In other words, there's not one day that you are alive that God does not love you. Matter of fact, before the foundations of the world, before you were born, God loved you. That's what the scripture says. There hasn't been a moment in history or time that you were not loved by God. Do you know why you were created? You were created to be the focus of God's love. That's truth. You might feel unloved, but you're not unloved. So when I have those feelings of unloved, being unloved, and humans may let you down, people may let you down, but God will never let you down. So if my focus is God, your love for me, you love me so much, you gave your life for me, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. So what do I do when I feel unloved? What do? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. As you repeat the truth, it begins to demolish the stronghold. It does. Let's keep going here. What about this one? I am unaccepted. This is the one I was struggling with, right? Rejection. Not accepted. Not being loved. Not being appreciated. Not just, they're going to reject me. I don't know what your story is, but we all have a story. We've all been rejected at some point in our lives. Maybe it was racially. Maybe it was socially. Maybe it was economically. Maybe you didn't fit in because you didn't have a degree or the finances or the schooling or whatever it was. But this is what Scripture tells us. This is the truth. You ready for the truth? God has treated us with undeserved grace, and He has what? If God accepts me, that's all I need. He says, and because of Jesus, He accepts us what? Because of Jesus. And so we will live and rule like kings. I live, my friends, not for the acceptance of man. I live for the acceptance of heaven. I live for the acceptance of heaven. That's what I seek after. I want to know that I'm accepted by God. And if I'm accepted by God, guess what I get? Godfidence. Not confidence. Godfidence. God gives me the confidence to become who He called me to become, to do what He's called me to do. Where do I get the confidence to speak every week? Where do I get the confidence to serve? Where do I get the confidence? It comes by knowing that I'm accepted by the Father. And because of the, and I'm accepted by the Son. Because of the Son, I'm accepted by the Father, right? I'm accepted. What about this last one? I'm unworthy. I'm not worth it. There's nothing valuable about my life. And so many of us look to get our value by the things we own or the position at work. And some of you are at a place in your life where you're saying, I got to get this raise or I got to get this promotion because that'll make me feel important. Yeah, I kind of know the feeling because I thought, you know, if my church was bigger, I'll get noticed more. Or if I was more successful in the church ministry, maybe I'll get accepted. It goes that accepted mixtape, right? Or maybe it'll bring me value. I'll feel more important. And this is what the Word of God tells us. For you know that God, what? Paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value, It was paid for by the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Yeah. What does that mean? That I meant so much to God. I was so valuable to God. And that value was not dependent upon anything I did. Listen, before you did anything, God loved you. God valued you. And God accepted you. Before you did anything for him. And this is what it said. You were so valuable to God that he gave his life for you. Yeah, people will let you down. Yeah, people will look at you differently. Yeah, people will overlook you because you may not be in the in group. But you know what? What really matters is that I was loved by God. I was accepted by God. And I was so important to God that he paid for my life with his precious blood. There is no greater sacrifice. There is no greater payment that God can give for any of us. I end with this. I'm way over time. When God sees you, he sees his children. When God sees you, he sees that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. When God looks down upon you, he doesn't see your sins. He sees Jesus. He sees the forgiveness of Jesus. When God looks at you, he sees perfection. He says, yeah, you're the right skin color. You're the right, you have the right eyes. You have the right personality. And I love this part. You're the right size. Yes. Thank you, Lord. You're the right size. You know when Jesus looks at you, he sees you're my beloved. You're my child. I died for you. I gave my life for you. You know what hurts the heart of God? When we look for value and worth in the things of this world. And God says, stop, no. I've already given it to you. It is through my blood. I paid for you. You are perfect. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. So this is what I want you to do as we close. First of all, I want you to think about what that greatest stronghold that you are facing. What is that greatest stronghold? What is that mixtape that's playing in your mind? And I want you to imagine it this way. If I were to walk for 100 days around my house, eventually I'll be walking a pathway, and it would be starting to, the grass will begin to be kind of peeling back, and then dirt will start coming through. Now, can you imagine if I walked around my house for 10 years, what kind of pathway that would look like? And that's the pathway many of you have been living. You get out of your house, and you walk the same pathway every day. And the more you walk it, the deeper the thought is entrenched in your brain. And the more you believe it, it's the only pathway. It's the only way. And God wants to tell you this, and I want to tell you this, and God wants to tell you this. It's time to get off the old pathway. It's time to step off that pathway and start creating a new pathway. It's time to take a different direction with your thoughts. And start walking in the direction that God wants you to walk in. And start becoming who God wants you to become. And guess what's going to happen? As you walk in that pathway, the old pathway is eventually going to fade away. The grass is going to grow back. And now a new pathway is going to be etched out into your brain. Neuroscience calls it neuropathways, right? Neuropathways will start being formed in your brain. And you're going to start believing the truth of what God says you are. And that will be your new mixtape. That's going to be your new mixtape. That's going to be your new mix. Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads together. Can you just, this might be weird if you feel comfortable. Just put your hand on your brain, on your head. Say, Jesus, renew my mind. Renew my way of thinking. Help me. Say it with me. Help me to identify the lies and replace them with your truth. Jesus, I just pray over every mind in this church, God, that you would touch it by the power of your Holy Spirit. They begin transforming people's minds and their hearts and their lives. Do a new work in them, I pray. Do a new work, not just in them, but through their minds and their hearts, Jesus. With your head bowed and eyes closed, some of you have been believing lies about your relationship with Jesus, and you've been afraid to give Jesus your life because you think, if I give Jesus my life, then I can't do the things I want to do, or my life will be boring, or I'm not ready, or my past is too great, or I have too many sins. And Jesus is saying, stop believing the lies, because this is the truth. I love you so much. I gave my son to die for you, and I love you the way you are. Just come to me. And if you're here today and want to receive Jesus in person or online, just lift your hand. Say, that's me, Pastor. I want to give Jesus my life. Anybody, lift your hand. I see your hand. Anybody else? Come on now. I see your hand. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Anybody else online? Lift your hand. Come on. It's time to stop believing the lies. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that you would touch every heart and life, that you would come into their hearts and forgive them of their sins. Give them a brand new start, we pray. We love you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody together said, amen. Anyway, let's give it up for those people who lifted their hands today. Before we go, if you made that decision to follow Jesus, we have Bibles for you in the back. Just stop at the table, fill out a Bible. If you're watching online, click the link. Also, if this is your first time here or you haven't met Pastor Ruth and I, we're going to be outside. We'd love to meet you personally. So this is the day we get to meet you. We love that. We'll do that once a month. And lastly, if you came prepared to give in person, drop it off in the mailboxes in the back. Thank you so much. Have an awesome day, everybody. God bless you guys.